The challenge for each one of us as Christians is to live the Christian life. So how do we do that? Well, we become Christians by faith in Jesus Christ. We're not saved by works, our works, even the best of our efforts. No, we all know that salvation is by grace. It's by the gift of God. It's by God's unmerited favor. We don't merit it. He freely gives it. And understanding grace is also key to the Christian life. God saved us completely by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. God's justice is satisfied. God is at peace and friendship toward us. We are set free from sin and death. The Christian life is not about earning something or finishing the work of the cross. It is walking in the victory of Jesus Christ. And we do so by the provision and power of God. I'm always amazed when Jesus talked to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. And he was preparing them to go out and not be disciples any longer, but to be apostles, going forth with the gospel message to the world. You think there would be a lot of things he would tell them and prepare them for. But in John chapter 15, in verse 1, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." And then he speaks of them being branches in that vine. And he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The disciples, soon to be apostles, had a great ministry before them, but the key to that ministry was their connection to Christ. The key is to be found in God. Our beginning is in Christ by faith in him. Our continuing is in Christ as well by faith in him. We too have much to do in living the Christian life and serving the Lord. So how do we do that? Well, our focus in life and ministry must always be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who gives us the power to live for him. Our lives depend upon him. And his purpose is for us to derive our strength and power always and only from him. Without him, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Christian life is lived out by us, but the driving force is the Lord God Almighty. We're looking at the book of Galatians, and the key verse of this whole epistle is Galatians 2:20. "I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Christ lives in me. What does that look like? "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Saved by faith, we live by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he alone can give us the resources to live for him. And he does so by giving himself to us. We have been spiritually baptized into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. God wants us to live the Christian life with him and by him and for him. He leads us. He guides us. He protects us. He empowers us. He encourages us with the purpose of leading us to glory, with the purpose of leading us to the finality of all that he has promised for us. For our great blessing and his great glory. And we're talking about the Christian life, and the Apostle Paul is talking in this passage about the Holy Spirit. One of the things I'll say about the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit is the Apostle Paul has great confidence in the Holy Spirit, great reliance upon him. Because he says, walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and again he repeats, and walk by the Spirit. Once again, it would be easy for me to say, okay, walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, let's pray. Go do that. But I want to probe that issue, and I especially want to probe the issue of being led by the Spirit of God. If you look at verses 16 again, 16 and 17, he says, and he gives a command. This is a command, an apostolic, inspired by God command. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Immediately you see this flesh and spirit. He's already mentioned in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. He asked the question, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit? By the works of the law or by hearing by faith? The answer is by hearing by faith, but the point is they have received the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in them. It says, we are to walk by the Spirit. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We are to walk by the enabling power of the Spirit of God. And this is a powerful presence. We say, well, how do we walk in the Spirit by the enabling power, the indwelling presence of the Spirit in us? Well, how would he do that? He said, well, since you are in Christ, and by being in Christ, faith, love, and service. Faith, love, and service. Faith working through love, then the command is to serve one another. There's something else mentioned in this passage, and that is that the flesh and the spirit are in opposition to one another. Each one is craving to put the other one down. You have the Spirit of God craving to put the flesh down, the flesh craving to put the spirit down. There's a battle going on in each one of us. So you say, well, okay, we're walking by the Spirit. And then he says, be led by the Spirit. And I want to say, this whole thing about the Spirit of God, let me ask you a question. You are, like the Galatians, indwelt by the Spirit of God. As believers in Jesus Christ, you have been born again, and you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, one of the great blessings that God gives to you. So how do you walk in the Spirit? And how does the Spirit of God lead you? I ask that question because, as I've said, the Apostle Paul was quite confident in the leading ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. So we are to be led by the Spirit. So what I say to you is, what does that mean? And this morning, I want to tell you why I am such a wonderful person. And then I want to also tell you why you are such a wonderful person. And all of that has to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit. When I say a wonderful person, I'm describing what it is that God is doing in us. We all believe that the Holy Spirit is in us. If I ask, I think virtually everyone here, but if I ask, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit when you believe as a Christian? We'd all say yes. And then I'd say, well, what is he doing? You say, well, he's indwelling us. And I said, well, that's what I just got through saying. But what is he, when he indwells us, what does he do? Because the Apostle Paul is pretty confident that he's doing a lot. When you look at this passage. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? That's a passive thing. It's something that's happening to us. When he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, that word itself is saying, if you are being led, which means the Spirit of God is leading you. He's the one active. You are the one passively receiving whatever it is that he's doing in you. And clearly we can look at this and say, well, it must be a daily pursuit to be directed by the Holy Spirit, by our active dependence upon him. Certainly that would include reading the Word of God and praying and being dependent upon him. But this is, it's amazing when you look at the teaching of the Word and how we're guided in this being led by God. Let me say something about God. There's always a sense in which you have the otherness of God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. But God is not made in our image. And oftentimes when we speak of God, we sort of bring God down to our level where we can understand him. I can always say that we live in this world, and this world is a world of cause and effect. If I said, how did you get here? You say, well, I have parents and my father and mother. That's how I got here. I say, yes. And how did your parents get here? Well, they had parents. There's a cause and effect, and we live in a cause and effect world. And scientists can go all the way back to almost the beginning, looking at cause and effect in this world. And philosophers can go almost to the beginning with cause and effect. But when you come to God, there is no cause and effect. He is the great I am. He always is. There's no cause to God other than the God is the cause of God, which is a complete otherness. That's what makes God God, is that he exists forever by himself, self-sufficient, self-supporting, self-satisfied. He is totally other than we are. And what's wonderful is this God who is totally other than we are makes us in his image. And God does things according to him, not according to us. He does for our good. The reason why I'm talking about this is because God's ways are not our ways. If I were to ask the question, God, how should the Holy Spirit guide me? I'd say it'd be nice if I could talk with the Holy Spirit and I could talk like the disciples walked with Jesus. And they walked with Jesus and they were, wherever Jesus went, that's where they went. Whatever Jesus was doing, that's what they were doing. And when Jesus said, I'm leaving, they said, where are you going? We'll go with you. They're following Jesus. They're learning from him, dependent upon him. So if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, it'd be nice if we could see the Spirit of God. That would be wonderful. But God is Spirit. And God leads us. His ways are not our ways. And so he leads us by not having the Spirit in front of us, but by putting the Spirit in us. But then the Spirit in us is doing something. What is this Spirit doing in us? And why did God take the Spirit and put him in us? And the answer is because there's a great battle going on. The first thing I'd say about the Spirit taking up residence in you is he's fighting a battle, the flesh and the Spirit. There's a battle being waged. The wonderful thing about that is if it was the Spirit not being there and it was our new nature versus our old nature, we would be in trouble because the old nature is very powerful. I might even say that the old nature is more powerful than our new nature. But the old nature is not more powerful than our new nature plus the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit in us means that he is going to win that battle. You think you're battling against the flesh, and you are. But the reason why you shall be victorious in that battle is because the Spirit of God right now in you is battling your sinful flesh, your old nature. There's a battle going on. That's important for you to understand, because you can look at yourself and say, I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I ought to be. Is the Lord really going to finish his purposes in me? And the answer to that question is yes. Because you have God in you battling against your sinful flesh. There's no comparison of how our God is going to win that battle. That's the good news. There's a great battle going on inside of us. And when you talk about then the leading of the Spirit of God, it's important to think about the way in which this expression is used elsewhere in Scripture. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says something interesting about Jesus Christ. I'm still explaining to you, I'm getting there, about being led by the Spirit. But it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. This is shortly after his baptism, right at the beginning of the book of Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days while tempted by the devil. Now think about this for a moment. How was Jesus led by the Spirit? There's no battle going on inside of Jesus. Jesus was born into this world, God, the God-man, fully God, fully man. No sin nature, no sinful behavior, no spirit indwelling to fight that battle. So I know it's a little different with Jesus being led of the Spirit. But what does it mean for him to be led of the Spirit? Does that mean he's in the wilderness and the Spirit says, hey, go over there? So he goes over there. And go over here. And he goes over here. And go to this place. And the answer to this, I don't think that's the leading of the Spirit. Does the Spirit of God lead us in our lives in terms of our physical direction and things happening to us? The person that we marry, the job that we do, the work where we work, and all these other. Does the Lord lead us in these things? And I say, I'm sure he does. I don't think that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. What is the Apostle Paul talking about here then? Well, think about Jesus. The Spirit of God was, it says, full of the Holy Spirit. And he was led about by the Spirit. I think there's a wonderful thing going on here is because you have the Holy Spirit inside and Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God for his ministry. The Spirit of God ministering to him, how is he ministering? Well, the same time Satan is tempting him, the Spirit of God is encouraging him. How is he encouraging him? Well, we're going to find out in this passage, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Spirit of God is ministering those truths, as amazing as this may seem, Father, Spirit to Son. He's ministering the spiritual resources of the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. So the same time Satan is tempting him, the Spirit of God is leading him in what? I don't think it's directional in the wilderness. I think it is leading him in the spiritual virtues that encourage him as the sinless one, as if he needs encouragement, but as he encourages him in all of those virtues. You say, well, why do you say he's leading us in terms of virtues? And I say, because of the text. If you look at this passage in Galatians, when it talks about being led of the Spirit, what is the next thing it talks about? It talks about, well, if you look at Galatians, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. Verse 18, if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, and it lists all these sinful things, sinful behaviors, because your flesh is going wants to lead you in all of those sinful behaviors. But the battle's going on with the spirit. What is the spirit doing? Well, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, and goes on with those things. So the same times the flesh is saying, I want you to go and do these sinful things, the Spirit of God is battling the flesh and leading us in love, in joy, in peace. And the rest of this, the fruit, the evidence of the Spirit of God within us. We are led in the virtues of God. That's why we're such wonderful people. And I know I believe in total depravity and all the rest of God's truth, but I'm simply saying, when God saves us, he changes us. And the change that he's working in us makes us the kind of people that we like being around. You're not by nature a loving person. You are not by nature love, joy, peace. You're not by nature a joyful person. You're not by nature someone at peace. Where do you get these things from? Well, you get them from the Holy Spirit, because he's determined to show you, to bring these virtues out in our hearts and lives, because he's leading us that way. We think of being led as directional, this place and this place, and going here and going there. God thinks the God who is other than what he's leading us in is he's leading us in holiness. He's leading us in being like Christ. I mean, we think, if you think like I think, there are many decisions that we face in life, and those decisions are important. We say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And the Lord is saying to us, here's what I want you to be. And I put the Spirit of God in you so that you will be these things. I've mentioned before that I'm reading about the history of Protestantism. And one of the difficulties about reading about Protestantism is the persecution and the awfulness of persecution of Christians throughout the centuries. And whether you talk about the Paulicians or the Albigensians or the Huguenots or the Waldensians or the Lutherans or the persecution is just awful. And I read the book and I kind of slide down in my chair and I'm just like, I feel like I'm going down and down and down. But one of the things that's totally amazing to me is the account given, not the awfulness of the way in which they were treated and tortured. What's amazing to me is the testimony of these saints. Because at the same time, everything about them is going awful. They manifest in their lives love and joy and peace. And it's all over the place in this account of Christian history. And it's led me to say, in my ignorance, it's led me to say, I think there has to be a martyr's grace that is given to them. A martyr's grace. Because many of these martyrs, they're tortured and then they're executed. And it's bad. All about it is bad. And they have love, and they have joy, and they have peace. And I say, well, that can't be true. I mean, there are many stories of these individuals walking to, for example, the stake where they're going to be burned at the stake, and they're lovingly, they see the love in them and joy and peace. Where did that come from? And I said, well, it must be martyr's grace. And then you look at what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, and I say, I'm not sure that's martyr's grace. I think it's the fullness of the Holy Spirit revealing himself in love, joy, and peace to them, so that oftentimes when they were walking to the stake, the way in which they conducted themselves, and even some of them had the opportunity to give testimony before they burned them at the stake. Sometimes they would bring a whole bunch of drummers so the drummers would drum and nobody could hear them, anything that they had to say. But what people saw was love, joy, and peace in such a way that they became Christians watching Christians be executed. That's strange, is it not? But they looked at these individuals and say, those people have something I don't have. They're dying and they have a smile on their face. They're at peace. In fact, they're joyful. They're saying, we are going to be with the Savior today. And they're joyful about it. Some of them had to be carried to the place to be burned at the stake because of what was taking place to them. And they're in a state of love, joy, and peace. Where does that come from? And I say, it comes from the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit of God that they have, you have, and I have. And the reason why we are progressing in the spiritual life is because God is affecting love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in us. That's his ministry. That's what he's doing. And the Apostle Paul is so strong in this, he doesn't give a list of rules, and I'm sort of surprised that more is not said about what you need to do as a Christian. He's saying, we're not under the law. He's going to say that in no uncertain terms. You're not under the law. The law, what is the law? Well, the law is the righteous commands of God revealed to the Old Testament saints, the nation of Israel, to guide them as a nation. But clearly you have an outstanding statement about the morality and ethics and aesthetics even of God himself. And the Apostle Paul, it sort of just says, we're not under the law. What is it that moves us? What is it that directs us as Christians? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. I say, well, wait a minute. We need a little more than that. The Apostle Paul doesn't seem to think that we need more than that. And there are a lot of commands that are given in the New Testament. I'm not taking anything away from the Word of God, and I'm not trying to be mystical, but what I am trying to be is biblical. And the biblical truth is that the Spirit of God is placed within us to transform our lives. Transform our lives. And this is what God is sovereignly accomplishing in us, which we are responsible to pursue. Jesus Christ in his ministry, he was led to heal, feed, deliver the lost people. He was serving people in love. Jesus was led to wash the disciples' feet, to set an example for them to serve one another in love. Not that they should go and wash everyone's feet. He was setting an example of he, the Son of God, and the Savior, and the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, kneeling down in front of the disciples and doing what a servant does. And it's God ministering. Jesus Christ died on the cross doing what a slave would do. You're dying. He's dying for us. The greater service is not washing our feet. The greatest service is dying on the cross for us. That's why Jesus said to Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, if you don't let me serve you, you have none of me because I came to serve. Why? Because that's the heart of God. When Jesus went and he saw the multitude of people, he loved them. Why did he love them? Because that's the heart of God. And he served them and He didn't go to individuals and say, well, how much money do you have? If you have enough money, I'll heal you. No, he didn't do that. And in fact, he doesn't say, well, if you'll become a Christian, a believer, I'll heal you. He didn't, there's no, we don't see that. He healed them. Why? Because he loved them. He's seeking their greatest good. The greatest good for them at that point is the healing of their bodies. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ, anointed by the Spirit of God. It's like, if you want to speak of it, twofold, but God is one. But the fullness of God manifested in Jesus Christ. And you look at Jesus Christ and you say, well, he's a little different than we are because he has no sin nature. No, that's exactly right. But he calls us to be like himself. In fact, he's removing our sin nature from us. He defeated Satan at the cross. He defeated our old nature at the cross. When Jesus comes again, the old nature will be removed from us. And we'll be as much like Jesus Christ as we can possibly be, other than the fact that we're the creature and he is God. But we shall be like him. And Jesus says to us, I want you to be like me now. And if he just said that to us and we didn't have the Holy Spirit within us, we're not going to be able to do that. Then I wouldn't say, well, we're not very nice people. But when you have the Holy Spirit working in us, he is leading us in the fruit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit. There's no directional stuff here. It doesn't say if you are led by the Spirit of God, you'll know what you're supposed to do next. God very seldom points out our next step in life. In fact, tomorrow will be new for all of us in what things happen tomorrow. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't need to know. But the leading of the Holy Spirit is leading us in godliness to be tomorrow. That, I think, is what is talked about when he says, be led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And one of the places you ought to turn is, and we'll not have the time to do so today, but look, you ought to read Romans 8, 1 through 17, because it's talking about the Spirit and the Spirit of God leading us. It says, the mind set upon the Spirit is life and peace. We're to set our minds upon the Spirit of God. Sometimes we want to just pray and say, dear Heavenly Father, please have the Spirit be working harder in my life. I need to make more advance than I'm making. I think that's a wonderful prayer. But God is working in us according to his time, according to his way. His ways are higher than ours. Why he has us living the Christian life, I don't know. He wants us to see step by step the transformation that he's accomplishing in our lives. You're a different person today as a Christian than you were 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. In fact, we ought to be different day by day. Because God is effectively working in our lives to transform us to be like Christ. The Spirit of God is there to lead us being in love and joy and peace. We'll go through those characteristics when we get there. But those characteristics are impossible to have in this world. I mean, we're living in a dark world. You could be very much discouraged living in this world. But we can also be joyful. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God who gives us joy. You can be joyful walking to the stake, to be burned at the stake. Why can you do that? Because of the Spirit of God within us. We're not defined by our circumstances. We're defined by the Holy Spirit in us as Christians, leading us not to the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. That's what he's talking about, the sinful things that our flesh would say. Go ahead and do those things. The Spirit of God is battling the flesh. The reason why we don't do those things is because the battling of the Spirit against those things in our sinful flesh. And he's also saying, I want you to walk in love. I want you to walk in peace. I want you to walk joy and peace. I want you to walk in those things. Why? Because I'm going to produce those things in your life. So when it says we are in Christ Jesus, through love we ought to serve one another. And he says, that's why you look at this and it says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you've consumed one another. Why are we not biting and devouring one another? That's what everybody else does. Sounds in verse 15, it sounds like our political world. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. There's a lot of biting and devouring in every direction. It says, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. You may be facing, in this passage, you are facing a great challenge to justification by faith. There's a theological issue. Maybe you should, Paul earlier on says, these people should be cut off. So it's very strong. And at the same time, he says, love, joy, and peace. At the same time, he says, the reason why I'm confident of what you need to be doing is you need to be walking in the Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. And I think we can be led by the Spirit in any number of ways. But the primary way we are led by the Spirit is to be led in these virtues. Sometimes speakers come to the school and they speak and they say things that they ought not to say, but one speaker said, God has led me to tell you that God loves you. So always if I hear someone say something like that, I always go to them and say, did you hear a voice? Does God have a voice like that? Or does God have a voice? What kind of voice does God have? I mean, you said God told you. And they always say to me, no, I didn't hear a voice. It was like the Lord led me to say that. I said, well, that's how you ought to say it, that the Lord led you to say that. Because the Lord can lead us. I don't doubt that the Lord leads us in many different ways. I think we have to be careful about that, but the Lord can lead. The primary way the Lord leads us is in love, joy, and peace from us in our hearts and through our lives. We as Christians should be different. We should be oddities in this world because of what God is doing in us. And if you're struggling and you say, well, I'm just depressed. I'm really struggling. We should pray, and you should pray and say, Dear Heavenly Father, please, Holy Spirit, please, Lord Jesus Christ, the great three in one, the God who works, please give me self-control. Give me peace. Give me joy. You want to pray according to the will of God? You can pray according to the will of God. You can ask God to give you what he freely gives you. And when you see deficiencies in your own heart and life, people that are difficult to love, The difficulty to love is not because they are difficult. The difficulty to love is the Holy Spirit pouring his love through us. And what we need is we need the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what they are. God loves us unconditionally. We can love them unconditionally if we have the Holy Spirit pouring forth love through our hearts and lives. This is amazing truth. I mean, this the Christian life is a miracle. I always say, anytime anybody is saved, that's a miracle. Anytime any of us live for the Lord, that's a miracle too. That's a supernatural thing that's happening, and it's the sovereignty of God working through our lives. And we're responsible to follow. We're responsible to walk in the Spirit. We're responsible to be led by the Spirit. We're responsible to depend upon him. We're responsible to look to him. The Christian life is a dependent life. And it's easy to say, well, we should live according to the law. The law that tells you all the commands that you need to know to live. What to eat, how to dress, how to look, everything is in the law. And we look at the ethics and morality of the law, and we say those are ethics and great ethics and morality in the law. But we're not directed in the law. The outward commands do not direct us. It is the inward Holy Spirit leading us in all of these things. And what's surprising is that the Apostle Paul doesn't say, okay, it's love, joy, peace. I'm going to give you 10 rules for love and 10 rules for joy and 10 rules for peace. And this is how you go about love, these 10 ways, and joy, these 10 ways, and peace, these 10 ways, because we like rules. And God says, the Spirit of God works love, joy, and peace through in you and through you. So the measure of knowing the will of God is love, joy, peace, first of all, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit as well. But it's not the law of God. We don't run to the law of God to learn how to live the Christian life. Some people say they like to think that they do, but they pick and choose. They go and make some of the law, but usually what they pick and choose is in the New Testament as well. But the driving force of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is the most mystical of the three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know the least about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The otherness of God, three in one. The mystery of God, it's all there. But God has seen fit to make sure that his purposes are accomplished in our hearts and lives by putting the indwelling Holy Spirit in us to do a work through us. And that's what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. And may God help us. It says in Romans chapter 8, that passage I said you should look at, Romans 8 verses 1 through 17, but in verse 14 it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And he goes on from that, the sons of God, to receive the inheritance that God has for us. A protected inheritance, we're protected to get that inheritance. Peter talks about that. So it's wonderful to sit here and say to you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to finish his work in you. And we are to depend upon him. If you're struggling in your life, depend more upon him. Cry out to him to do what he has promised to do in us. And may God help us to depend more and more upon the Lord. We're absolutely dependent upon him for physical life, spiritual life, for eternal life, for every facet of life. So depend upon him. And once again, people ask and have asked me, is it appropriate to pray to Jesus Christ? Is it appropriate to pray to the Holy Spirit? I say there's one God in three persons. When you're praying to this one God, you're praying to the three persons. It's appropriate to pray, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, lead my life. I'm struggling with being discouraged. I'm struggling with being joyful. I'm struggling with self-control. I need you because I cannot proceed without you. It's great truth. So be led by the Spirit. And it's wonderful to know what that means, to be led by the Spirit. And he's going to talk about there's a battle going on, but God will be faithful to you. That's why you're a wonderful person. That's why you're a wonderful person. I'm not quite so wonderful as you are, but I'm a wonderful person too because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our salvation is so amazing. We thank you that you save us from sin and death, but you save us to so much more. You save us not only to be righteous, you save us to be holy, you save us to be clothed in your glory. You save us to be inwardly and outwardly like Christ. You've put the Holy Spirit in our hearts to lead us as we walk in him. We're thankful for that great ministry. We're thankful that the work that you have begun in us, you shall continue until it is completed. Your perfect work. Thank you for the blessings that you give. Thank you for the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, through us, to us, in order that we might be like Christ. We have a great hope. We pray that you'll bless the truth to our hearts and guide each one of us in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.